We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 19, if you can turn there. When I was in high school a long time ago, it's been a minute now, I played on the tennis team. And I was not a fantastic tennis player, unfortunately. I was okay. My aunt had played kind of in college, and she knew what she was doing, so she gave me some lessons, and I was able to play a little bit. And it was fun. It was great to be on the team, but I kind of walked on, and our program was not very super established. And so I played tennis. Now, in retrospect, if I could go back in time, I probably would have played hockey because I went from high school to the Army. And in the Army, I was in charge of soldiers, and they would ask me questions like, hey, sir, what did you do? What did you do in high school? And then they would say things like, did you run? You just ran? Oh, you ran? You wrestled? Did you fight? You just fight guys. And because it's the Army, right? And then I would go, oh, I played tennis. And they go, oh, tennis. Like, oh, that's nice. Did you have a fun would you go to the club? You know, I was like, oh, it wasn't like that. Anyway, so there I am playing tennis my senior year. And I was the team captain because I was a senior, not because I was that great. And there were a couple freshmen actually that were far better than me, but they were freshmen. So some of them went on to do great things in the tennis world, whatever. And I was the team captain, and there was another senior who was playing with us, and he was a really great guy. And he worked hard and he tried, but he was terrible at tennis. Like, I was not that great. He was bad, like legitimately bad. And one day in practice, one of the freshmen just crushed the shot. And it bounced, and it came right at this guy, and boy, just boom. I mean, it hit him hard. He crumpled to the ground. He's like, oh no. You know, and this poor guy had to go home. I didn't see him for a day. He's just gone. Next day he comes back, and in between the day while he's gone, the coach came to me and said, hey, we're gonna cut that guy. You gotta tell him. Because I was the team captain. And I was like, so he comes back and he walks up to me, and I mean he's hurt, you can tell. Like, he wore this wound for a while. And I was like, are you okay? And he's like, I don't know, man. And nothing is right. I was like, oh, I have some news for you. Like, I'm so sorry. You didn't make the team, dude. And he was like, oh. He goes, I figured. And that was it. Great guy. Love him. I saw him years later. We're still kind of friends, you know, and didn't even come up. I saw some of those freshmen recently at a like high school event thing, like an alumni kind of thing. And one of those guys who was really great, who was a freshman when I was the team captain as a senior, was at this event. And the coach was at this event. And both of them, as I'm meeting them, said, did you play tennis? Because they didn't remember me at all. Now, my friend who got hurt remembered, just didn't bring it up. These guys couldn't even recall. And I was like, well, glad I made an impact. It's really fantastic, my leadership skills. Again, I was not that great at tennis. Why do I tell you this story? I tell you this story because many of us think that Christianity is like putting on a uniform. You put on a uniform for Jesus, you're on his team, and that's kind of it. You go to church, as long as you do the right thing, and you go to the practices, maybe you show up for some games, you're on the team, you're okay. Some of us think that Christianity is like trying out for the team, and that if you don't make it, that you're going to have a hard conversation with the team captain and wear the marks of that. Some of us are afraid that years from now, we will have no legacy. And despite working hard and doing things, didn't really go anywhere. And I want to tell you a story from Luke 19 about how Christ, who's the victor, that's the series that we've been talking about, Christ is the champion, he's the victor. He has overcome sin and death. He has rescued us. He has made us his people. He's the victor. And in his victory, we have life in him. But what does it look like to walk out that life with him? And today I want to tell you that Jesus Christ has victory over division. And he has brought you to the Father so that you can draw near to God. You have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. You also have acceptance in the body because of his victory. Now, that's a big deal, to have acceptance in the body. It's not like trying out for the team, and if you play good enough, you're going to make it. Instead, to be accepted in the body on the basis of our testimony in Jesus Christ binds us together that we would know him, who otherwise are very different. And so we can have a room here full of people who have varied family backgrounds. English is a first language. English is a second language. Varied industries, all kind of stuff. Have you ever been to a conference, though, where everybody's unified in what they want to talk about? Not just a church conference, but like a business conference or a Cardinals game or a Blues game. Everybody wears the same stuff, and you're unified for that little bit of that game based on your love for the team or your dislike of the other team. One time I went to a Blues game and I sat in the section with that was had season ticket holders. It was the very last tie section. They were all from one post office. And all I heard about how was Marcy is going to get fired because she's not good. And they hate the Blackhawks. Like that was their whole time. But everybody can get unified easily when you come together based on one team or one business or one whatever. But look at the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, we have various people, various sizes, various families, various backgrounds, all coming together to have fellowship together that's not just fun and community events. The Bikes and Brats event will be a failure if it becomes a Democrat or Republican event. If it's Republican in nature or Democrat in nature, or if we're there to sell Tupperware or whatever, those things will fall flat. Why? Because our fellowship is not in affiliation in some way, it's in identity in Jesus Christ. Amen. But he has not just put you on a tryout for the team, he has taken you, though unable to make the team, though dead in your trespasses and sins, he rescued us, and in his victory, he gave us not only access to the Father, but brought us into a body together where we'll know him. That's a great victory. That's a great victory because look at the world. Everything we just prayed for, division is everywhere. It's easy to fight. So here we are. Luke chapter 19 is a well-known story. We're going to look at this fantastic Sunday school story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Let's read together Luke chapter 19 starting at verse 1. He, that's Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because of he was small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. Everybody say grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Praise the Lord for his word. So what's the story here? It's pretty short. Many of you know the context here. Jesus is about to have the triumphal entry. He's coming into Jerusalem soon. In this case, he's in Jericho. And the people of Israel at this time are oppressed by the Roman government. And so the Romans are, their empire is over the whole area. And so they are in charge of all the things. And the taxes that are due when he's a chief tax collector are due to the Romans. Now, this makes for a precarious situation because if you want taxes to be paid, how do you get people to pay their taxes? How do you get people to pay? Fear of punishment, right? That's how you get people to pay. Well, in this case, it's not just fear of punishment. The Romans would detach soldiers and give them to the tax collectors so that at the threat of death, they actually would go and take stuff. And so the way that taxes are paid can be violent, depending on what's happening. And the tax collectors are well-known thieves. So not only have they sold out, because Zacchaeus is a Jewish person who's selling out to work for the Romans, not only have they sold out to work for a foreign oppressive government, but also they're well-known to skim off the top to make sure that they have enough money. And Zacchaeus is not just a tax collector, he's a chief tax collector. So he's an extra skimming kind of person. A good way to think about this is kind of like the mafia in movies modern day. You know,